Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Al Diaz, author of The Titus Concept, producer of the film Beyond Hope and Transformational Guide. And I also have my co-host, Sydney Holbrook, who is the Compassionate Divorce Coach of CoachingForDivorceWomen.com. Today our topic is why you may be vulnerable to Mr. or Mrs. Toxic Agent. First, a couple of announcements. Continue to check back here on Blog Talk Radio on the Rewrite Your Story host page for upcoming shows and co-hosts. Also, go to rewritestory.com for a very special gift that we are giving away.
Gee, you know, I know that my family just, they keep telling me that they don't like this, you know, John, the guy that I've been dating, but I see in him what nobody else can see. I know that deep down he's really a good guy, and he just needs some trouble, and I know that I'm just so, because of my personality, I know that I can bring out the best in him.
You know, Cindy, I'm in almost the same position that you're in. I know because of who I am and what I do that the person I'm with is going to change. They're going to change, and they're going to become the better self that they are. I can see it in them. I know that there's something about her that I see within her that's going to make her better, and I'm going to help her get there.
I want to welcome everybody to today's show. Why you might be vulnerable to Mr. or Mrs. Toxic Agent. And if you're on Facebook, you can go to facebook.com/group/ your toxic relationship dance. And if you have a question or comment during the show, go ahead and type it in. If you are, you can also go to Blog Talk Radio, and there's a chat room open there, and you can type in your questions or chat with Al. And naturally, you can always call in live, 713-955-0561. And what I want to do, I came up with 9 reasons that you could be vulnerable to Mr. or Mrs. Toxic Agent. So I want to quickly go through these 9 reasons, and then, Al, then we can talk about them. Sound good?
Sounds great. Let's do it.
Okay. Number one. You're in a vulnerable time and place in your life. Number 2, you believe that in order to be whole, you have to be in a relationship. And this makes you anxious and willing to put up with anybody who may not be quite up to par. Number 3, you have a very strong desire to overall all aspects of, to share. I'm sorry. Number 3 is you have a very strong desire to overshare all aspects of your life. You think the other person has to know every single detail of your life. You want to hurt, you don't want to hurt the other person's feelings. So, number 5, you're an eternal optimist. You believe that you can fix other people. It's exactly what Al has said before. I'm such a good person. I know I can bring this other person up. Well, I can share all of my knowledge with them and make them be a better person. Number 6, your view of human nature is super positive, and you only see the good in other people. Number 7, you're drawn to the exotic and mysterious. You know, we can call this the bad boy or the bad girl syndrome. However, whenever you're drawn to the exotic or the mysterious, you're doing something exciting and new. And sometimes this can be confused as love whenever it's just that you're really excited about the newness of everything. Number 8 is you have something to prove. You're sort of like that rebellious teenager. You want to prove to your family and your friends that you can deal with the type of person that they're absolutely against. Number 9, you're a social circle seeker. Wow. I am so, you know, you put this person up on a pedestal. I had a client who was married to a war hero, and so she put him up on the war hero, so she liked that circle, social circle. So this is what I mean by your social circle seekers. And so with that, any comments or what are your thoughts about this little list, Al?
Okay, Cindy, every topic on this list that you just indicated, that probably could be covered per show. For one show could be done. So we only have like 25 minutes. So I want to tackle, there are some very powerful topics you just mentioned, or items. And I want to address every one of them because I know I had some thoughts as you brought them up. Let's start off with number one. Can you repeat that again?
You had a vulnerable time in your life.
You know what? And it's funny because when you're vulnerable, and that could be when you're feeling lonely, perhaps a touch of sadness, you haven't got to know yourself well enough. And so when somebody comes into your life, you feel like, okay, maybe this is the one. And especially if it starts off really well, you get along really well, you're thinking, okay, now I don't feel alone anymore. And then you mistaken that for the possibility that this could become, quote-unquote, a relationship.
Exactly. You know, whenever I've had clients with some of these vulnerable aspects, I had a client who, she had been raped. And a few months after she was raped, she met this guy who just seemed so compassionate and caring and loving towards her situation. But that turned out to be a toxic relationship. She was very vulnerable. Whenever you're vulnerable, you're not quite who you are. I've had lots of other people who have experienced things such as breast cancer or the death of a loved one. Whenever you have a death of a loved one, your mother, your father, your sibling, you start thinking differently. And you are vulnerable because you're not thinking as clearly as what you typically do. And whenever you're in these vulnerable states, then this opens the door. It's like, you know, somebody had asked me once, it's like I have a neon sign flashing on my forehead. And sort of you do, because whenever you're in these types of places, this is where you, and divorce is definitely one of them, or the end of any sort of relationship, you have to sit back and ask yourself, who am I? And not thinking that you can fall into the arms of somebody who is going to fix everything in your life. And so it sort of is like you have this flashing neon sign like, I'm needy, I'm needy, I'm needy, I need your love. I'll put up with anything. Just please show me your love. And so you sort of do have this neon light on your head whenever you're in a vulnerable time. So this is not the time to start any type of relationship.
So it sounds to me, and we'll move on to number two here, but it sounds to me the answer then, or the realization is, if you're not happy with yourself, completely happy with yourself, or at peace with yourself in the moment, then you're vulnerable. Would you say that's correct, Cindy?
Yeah, to an extent, but it's also not just with who you are. You could sort of even know who you are, but you're in a place of grief where you're – I sort of go back to when my mom died. After my mother died, I was really – even though I still sort of knew who I was so full of grief and questions and all this stuff that – I couldn't really see other people for who they were.
But that's why I said the word happy.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said the word happy. You got to be happy with yourself, completely happy with yourself, and also know yourself. But I think being truly happy with yourself, because then you don't come across from the grief or the aloneness or the sadness. If you're happy with yourself.
Right.
You're less likely to be in a vulnerable state.
I guess I'm seeing some of the traumatic events that happen in the world as even though you could sort of be happy with yourself, these traumatic events in the world can impact your viewpoint so you're not seeing clearly. So after a death of a loved one, you're not seeing clearly. You could still be generally happy, but you're not really in a position to see clearly because of this traumatic event. My sister, she lost her house in the floods last year. So she, you know, this was a traumatic event to her, losing her home that's still to this day in the lake. And so it's something that is a traumatic event. But she was still happy, and everybody's like, wow, you know, you're handling this so well. But this traumatic event definitely changed her viewpoint of the world. and what was happening with her. So I think you can still be happy while you're experiencing a traumatic event like that, but the traumatic event is not allowing you to see things as clearly as you would otherwise. You're sort of like looking for a Mr. Fixer or a Mr. Fixer. It's like, just make the pain of this event go away or make the trauma of this event go away, because I don't want to deal with thinking about this event, or I don't want to deal with the aspects of this event that you may have no control of.
Interesting. Now, what's number two?
Number two is you believe to be whole in order to be in a relationship.
Mm.
So many people...
Go ahead.
I was going to let you go ahead.
You know, it's interesting. A lot of my clients, they feel that in order to... And you know what? This irritates me. When I read like something in a card that you go buy at the store, or you see a meme or a post or on Facebook or somewhere, and it says, "You complete me," or you know, stuff like that, and it's supposed to be really loving and touching and all that, and I understand the gist behind it, but you know what? When you express that, or when you feel that, you're giving your power away. You know, you should be complete on your own. And having somebody in your life is just frosting on the cake. But when you indicate that, you're giving your power away. And in reality, mm-hmm. you're supposed to hold on to your own power and be complete on your own and not rely on somebody else to complete you. Because you're giving your power away.
And the thing is how much do you totally believe what it is? It's, you know, some people like these really mushy type cards. So I think a lot of it is how much of the perception you're putting with it that you complete me. Because you can, you know, there's always different perceptions. But if you truly believe that you cannot live without this other person, then that's definitely there. But there are so many people in this world who feel like they have to be married, and just the other day on Facebook, or have to be in a relationship to be whole. Just like the other day, I seen this picture on Facebook, and it had a picture of three happy couples posing, and then this other dude, and then there's this dude standing off to the side drinking a beer, and it's like, and then the caption was something like, whenever everybody else is in couples, you're over there like, and then it just sort of leaves it there. And so when you think you have to be whole to be in a relationship, all you see in this world are other couples, other couples, other couples. You believe that in order to be happy, you have to be in a relationship. And this is such a, it's a little bit different than the "you complete me." It's you honestly, and I've known both men and women who honestly believe that to be happy, they have to be in a relationship. And the relationship should not or cannot make you happy. You have to make yourself happy yourself. Happiness is internal. It's not external. Anything
totally
else about that before? Okay. Number three is you have a strong desire to overshare all aspects of your life.
Okay, I've done that. and you know what's interesting is, and I've done it because I like to be upfront and open about everything and anything. And because I you ask me a question and I'll respond truthfully. And I may add, you know, other aspects to it, but I've done that, so I'm interested to see where you take this, because I thought being mm-hmm. open and honest is how you would want the other person to be.
You know, people, number one, people don't always need to know every single aspect of your life, even if you're in a committed long-term relationship, you know, because if you're sharing every single aspect of your life, you're not it's sort of like you're asking for approval from other people about different aspects of your life, but also that you feel that nobody's going to like you unless you tell them everything and everything. Or you think, if this person found out that this happened to me, they're not going to like me anymore. My husband, I never would have liked him 25 years ago at all. He, you know, he went through his wild 20s where, you know, he used to go to the bars, he'd get drunk, and whenever he was drunk, he said the biggest thing he wanted to do was pick a fight with somebody. Being as big as he was, that was really easy. So he didn't share this aspect of his life with me on day one, or even on day, you know, it probably was, we had been dating probably a good 5 or 6 months before he started sharing this aspect of his life. And some people think at the beginning of the relationship, they have to tell everybody everything. And what that does is this gives the controlling type personality, somebody who is in a toxic personality, power to control you because you've told them everything and anything. There's a time and a place to share things, and there's a proper way to share things. And I always say first dates and even second dates aren't that reason. First dates are just to see if you have any sort of connection with that person and you want a second one. And I have a list of questions that I compiled about first dates. You don't want to share, like, your kids and your job and all this other stuff. You don't want to do the regular run-of-the-mill stuff. You really want to know who this person is. So you want to ask them crazy questions like, if you could do lunch with anybody, who would you do it with and why? Who's your favorite superhero? If you could have any superpower, what would you have and why? And this is where you really get to know how somebody thinks versus somebody telling you what they want you to know and listening to everything that you're telling them that they can use against you in the future.
So, Cindy, so what you're saying is being open and honest is good, but just do it over time rather than all up front.
Exactly. And you know, I have a very good friend, and I sometimes even with her, I'm surprised whenever I find out things because I thought that I knew everything, and then I find out something different. But she never wanted to give anybody ammo against her. And I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but she never wanted to give anybody ammo against her. So she would tell me part A of the story. She would tell her friend Mary part B of the story. And she would tell her friend Jane part C of the story. So nobody had the complete story, but this still gave her room to vent about her story. But, you know, to me, I wouldn't be able to keep clear of who I told which part of the story to. I'm very open. I'm very honest. And, you know, people have told me that I'm too honest for my own good. So there's nothing at all wrong with being open and honest. But you can't be it to your own detriment.
Okay, what's number four?
Number four is you don't want to hurt the other person's feelings. I don't know how often men do this, but women, I have heard women say this so many times, is, he asks me, I keep dating him and I really don't like him, but I don't want to hurt his feelings by telling him I don't want to go out with him anymore. Men, do they do that, yes or no?
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they do.
Okay. Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's correct?
No, you know what, though? But when people do that, it's because they're caring. But you know what? That's coming from the wrong angle. If anything, you're hurting the other person by leaving them on.
And you're also hurting yourself. Why is the other person's feelings more important than your own? You know, from the time we're little tiny kids, we're always told by our mom, you are not the center of the universe. But I say, we are each individually the center of our own universe.
Agreed.
And
therefore,
you have to take care of yourself first. Number five is you're an eternal optimist. You want to fix others. And I have a quote I want to say here by Albert Hubbard. A man who marries a woman to educate her falls victim to the same fallacy as a woman who marries a man to reform him. And I found that to be a very interesting quote.
Yeah, it is. I like it a lot. You know what? If you jump into a relationship where you think you're going to change, shift, fix, whatever adjective or verb you want to use, another person, you're in the wrong relationship. If you cannot allow the other person to be who they are, you're in the wrong relationship, flat out. That's as point blank as I can get. You are not here to fix, shift, or change somebody else. You are here to accept them for who they are and what they are and allow them to be. If you can't do that, get out.
Mm-hmm. And if you're in a position where there's aspects that you don't like, but you're overlooking it, if you feel like, oh, I can't do this because it'd get angry, or I feel like I'm walking on eggshells whenever I'm around them, or I do whatever I can just not to piss the person off, or I'm dressing the way he wants me to dress. I can't gain 5 pounds because he's not going to like me anymore. Any of these things. Or somebody, if you're out on a date, I had a client who said she used to be really heavy and she lost a lot of weight. She went out on a date with this guy who continuously said fat jokes and talked about every single person that was 10 or 15 pounds overweight. And these are signs that, hey, you don't want to be with this person, but are you going to overlook it? Before I married Earl, even though I was 18, my mom said, are you sure you want to marry Earl? He's controlling. I said, oh, I just ignore him whenever he acts that way. Well, you cannot continue to ignore somebody forever. And so that's really important with you. You're not going to fix other people. So just, concentrate on your own self-improvement and let other people worry about their own. And
next.
If there's something that definitely needs improved, move on. The next one's you're drawn. Oh, your view of human nature is super positive and you only want to see the good in others. Therefore, you overlook the manipulation, criticism, and other toxic personality traits.
That one's easy. Well, for me, that one's easy. If you feel hurt or anxious or doubt within you in your relationship, you're in the wrong relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how positive you think you are. You could be as positive and let things just shrug things off and say, okay, whatever, But if it hurts, no matter how positive you are, it's time to move on.
And that goes along with what I just said about, hey, I just ignore him whenever he controls me. So it's the same exact thing. You have to really be willing to see that other people aren't who you want them to be. Number seven, you're drawn to the exotic and mysterious nature of others.
Okay, that would be me. I enjoy people that are different. Because they're different from me. I realize everybody is different, but so explain to me why that's not a good thing.
Because you could be, you're so drawn to, I call it the bad boy mentality as far as a woman's concerned, but you're so drawn to their mysteriousness. You're so drawn to what their culture, their religion, or their beliefs represent, that you're not looking at them as a person. You're thinking of this great experience and what you're learning about their mysteriousness. Or you could even have a drive to break the mysteriousness. You have this drive that I have to know what's inside of that mystery. So you become this mystery seeker, and then some of these experiences are super fun and super hot, and then you mistake these experiences for love whenever you really haven't gotten underneath the exotic and mysterious nature.
Wow. That just brought a lot of clarity for me, so thank you for sharing that. But
number eight... Go ahead. No, if you want to say something else, we can go ahead.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Number eight, you have something to prove. You're sort of like the rebellious teenager. You know, I know that I'm going to have this relationship whether you want it or not. And it's, for instance, if, you know, my daughter has always been attractive to African males, trying to be politically correct here, which some people really did not like that. And she was told a lot of stuff that, you know, a white person shouldn't be with a black person. And so the more she was told this, the more adamant she went that way. But really and truly, she's been attracted to black people since she was like 4 years old. All of her friends were black. It's who she is. And it's really and truly her innate light. But I did notice whenever she was a teenager that she became more rebellious. And adults do this the same way. They'll say, oh, this man, you know, his ex-wife says, you know, this or that, or but everybody else is wrong. So regardless what somebody tells you about this person, everybody else is wrong, and you're going to prove them wrong.
You know, and when you're and those are kind of type of scenarios, and you have to be very careful for this, is that's ego-driven. And if your relationship is ego-driven, you're in the wrong relationship. Let's go to number nine because we're about to run out of time.
Yes, number nine is you're a social seeker. So you want to be in the same social club as the other person. And don't think just because you're not in high school anymore, you know, I mean, we definitely see this in high schools, but just because you're not in high school anymore, you still want to hang with the cool people. And so therefore you're going to put up with crap that you may not put up with otherwise to be the cool person for financial security for whatever reason. I have one client who said she married her husband for financial security. So things like this means that you're in a vulnerable position because you're looking for that social circle eliteness, whatever that means to you.
You know what? If you're with somebody just because of what they represent, I agree. You're in the wrong relationship. And it all goes back to, and we kind of touched on this almost all the topics. It's all about yourself. It's about who you are, what you're willing to accept, how do you feel about yourself. If you're going after somebody because they represent something that you don't have, and don't get me wrong, I realize there's relationships out there that work that way. They each bring something to the table that the other doesn't have, and somehow it works out. But I believe you got to have it all within you first before you start attaching yourself to somebody else that has something that you don't.
Mm-hmm. If you're idolizing somebody, this is a huge factor pointing to the fact that you're being a social seeker because you're idolizing this person. I don't know how much time we have, but I do want to hope everybody really enjoyed today. If you have any questions, you know, send them to us. And next week is our week for our special guest, and May's guest is Mary Knight, and she is the author of How to Keep Your Man Out of My Bed, a former high-end call girl's best advice for capturing your man's undying adoration, attention, and loyalty. And some of the stories she heard while she was a high-end call girl are going to blow you away as far as noticing how your relationship could be toxic and how you can change yourself to maybe not allow your relationship to continue to be more toxic. So it's really a great, I love Mary. You're going to really get a lot out of her. So be sure that you tune in next week to listen to Mary.
I'm looking forward to it. It sounds like it's going to be a great show. And today's show was phenomenal, Cindy. So thank you for bringing up all those topics. And again, Cindy Holbrook, my wonderful co-host, passionate divorce coach of coachingfordivorcedwomen.com. Have you had enough of what you're going through? Contact me and let's rewrite your story from your existing pain to purpose that allows you to have the life you truly desire. You can reach me at al.dsforlove@gmail.com. And remember, every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific is our show, our wonderful show. Thank you all for joining us. And remember that everything in our past, present, or future is for our best and highest good. Wherever you are at, have a great day or a wonderful evening. Cindy, you rock. Thank you for being a joyous force in our life.
You rock, too. And goodbye. Big hugs and love to everybody, and have a fantastic weekend.
Take care.